everybody, and welcome back to Big Nerdy Questions. A few weeks ago, we talked about the best method of time travel, but tonight we're going to take it one step further and answer one of the greatest what-ifs, not just of nerddom, but I would argue of human culture itself. What would you do if you had the DeLorean for a day? To be more precise, what would you do if you could go back or forward in time? Where would you go? Would you change anything? Would it be a one-way trip or a round trip? Would you take anybody with you? Who would you talk to? There are a lot of questions to mine tonight, so we're going to be busy discussing the pros and cons of taking a trip through time itself, through the fourth dimension. But before we move on with this episode 11, we do have a bit of business to take care of. We have a sponsorship. Matt, who's our sponsor tonight?
Well, tonight's episode is brought to you by Zoidberg. Need to call someone? Why not Zoidberg?
Sorry, listeners, that may have hurt your ears, but I wanted to do that for a while.
It hurt mine.
It really just hurt my soul.
That too. You know, the window to the soul is the eardrum, or so they said during 80s hair metal. But anyway, I also have a big nerdy recommendation tonight. I want to recommend another novel. As apropos for the time travel theme tonight, I'll be recommending one of my favorite works by Stephen King, and it is not a horror novel. It's a novel written for a more general audience, although if you are a Stephen King fan, you will still love this book. It is 11/22/63. It was published in November 2011, and of course it was a bestseller. It won the Los Angeles Times Book Prize, the British Fantasy Award, the Locus Award for Best Science Fiction Novel. It is an amazing story. You may be more familiar with it if you have Hulu with the recent miniseries adaptation, which I'm sure is fine, but I'm talking specifically about the novel. As is the case with most Stephen King works, the descriptions are quite detailed. The characters are very well thought out, particularly our protagonist, who has to maintain several identities due to the intricacies of the time travel involved in the book. I don't want to give too much away about how time travel works in this book, because it is quite interesting, especially as a method of time travel all on its own. But I will say, as the title gives away, this book does, in part at least, revolve around the JFK assassination and what would happen if someone tried to prevent it. I won't say whether or not they succeed. You'll have to read the novel. There's also quite a substantial section of the book that is a callback to It, one of his other most iconic works. So if you are a Stephen King fan, a fan of time travel, a fan of historical fiction, interested in President Kennedy or the 1950s or 60s, I strongly recommend checking out 11/22/63. You're going to be reading this book for a while. It is quite thick, but it is worth the trip.
Well, now we can add another conspiracy theory to the JFK assassination. What if It was responsible for the assassination?
What a twist.
You know, I didn't think of that when I was reading it, but absolutely, it could have been the creature from It who did it. My favorite JFK assassination theory from science fiction is actually from The X-Files, where the cigarette-smoking man is responsible for the assassination of JFK, as well as the assassination of Martin Luther King, because reasons. So, yeah, X-Files fans, I'm with you on that one. It's a great episode. Musings of a Cigarette-Smoking Man. It's a secondary recommendation for the night. But before we just make this a show about recommendations and only recommendations, it's time to get into the big nerdy question, which is, what would you do if you had the DeLorean for a day? A couple things outright, I should say. First of all, even though we're using DeLorean in the title, this episode is not strictly about Back to the Future canon. As awesome as the Back to the Future trilogy is, I want this episode to focus more on the possibilities that time travel provides us, rather than on analyzing the Back to the Future franchise itself. In our previous episode on time travel methods, we were analyzing the different franchises, but tonight we're being inspired by one of our favorite franchises to go out into a new direction. So I want to make that clear at the outset. So if you're expecting a breakdown of Marty McFly's practices, that'll be another show. So keep that in mind. Also,
or Doc Brown.
Of course, we have a show about Doc Brown later on. But just keep that in mind, loyal listeners, and we appreciate your understanding. Also, before we get any further, I have to take a moment for this week in Buzz Killingtonness, because I do want to read a really interesting article, or at least talk about an interesting article before we get into it, about is time travel possible. There's a lot of science to it, and this is not a science podcast, so I won't go into the specifics, but I will talk about what an article that the Huffington Post published in 2012 entitled Stephen Hawking, I Held a Party for Time Travelers, But None Came. To quote the article, Stephen Hawking recently gave a party for time travelers. He told plenty of people about the date, sent out invitations, and waited patiently for them to arrive, but nobody came. Of course, that might have been because he waited until the party was over to send out the first invitations. I have experimental evidence that time travel is not possible. I gave a party for time travelers, but I didn't send out the invitations until after the party. I sat there a long time, but no one came. The party was held on June 28, 2009, and the only people present were Hawking and the film crew to film it, but no one has showed up. And due to the laws of causality, no one can ever show up for that party now because time travel. So, and if you want a chance to look at this article, there really isn't much more pathetic in a way than Stephen Hawking frowning as only he can in a room that's totally empty when he could have expected time travelers to show up. So I do want to point out that even though we're going on some lovely flights of fancy tonight, might not be physically possible. Maybe people just didn't want to go see Stephen Hawking. Maybe they didn't want to go to a party in the UK in 2009. For whatever reason, though, it just didn't happen. And Stephen Hawking, if you ever, for some unknown reason, listen to this show, we're not suggesting it is scientifically possible. We're having a thought experiment in the best tradition of Albert Einstein.
We're also not suggesting that your parties are boring.
We would come to your party, Professor Hawking. If you invited us, we would come. And we would be honored to have you as a special guest on Big Nerdy Questions if you ever should be so inclined.
I would party so hard with Stephen Hawking.
Absolutely.
Free beer. Hey, look, any party where there's free food or free beer, I'm there.
He had free food, free beer, as well as a specially made banner. And yet no one came. I mean, it's truly sad. But
well, maybe it's ironic. Well, maybe it's what happened is that they just didn't get the invite in time. And I find that's, like I said, ironic. Oops. Wish I could go. Have other obligations. Gotta go stop World War II. Sorry, Stephen.
Sorry, Stephen. Or maybe people later on are just like, you know what? We don't need to validate this. But anyway.
I know what happened. It was a big joke. It was a big practical joke that all the time travelers played on Stephen Hawking. He just doesn't realize it yet.
He will soon, though, right?
Yeah.
That would be
like the most brutal prank ever.
Well, they know precisely when he'll die if they're living later on. So they'll come back to like 5 minutes before his death and they'll walk in and they'll whisper, Dr. Hawking, I'm here from the future. I just want to let you know. Smile. You're on Future Candid Camera. So, into the meat of the question, and we are going to go through some specific questions. As always on Big Nerdy Questions, we're going to cap it off at the end of the episode with a summary. But we have some smaller questions that we're going to go through first. And I'll give it to Matt first this week. Are you traveling future? Are you traveling forward or backward in time?
Well, I'm going to have to say I would go backwards in time. And would you like me to explain what I would do?
Sure, why not?
Okay. I would perform the most elaborate prank in the history or future of all mankind. I would put on a suit, a plain black suit, but ensure that my face was distinctively visible in good detail. And I would ensure that I was in the background in photographs during major historical events. And I would do it all in one day so I could be wearing the exact same outfit every time and not have aged so I looked the exact same in every photo. So the photo of the Hindenburg crashing, background. Lincoln at Antietam, background. Yalta Conference, background. Iwo Jima, background. Hirohito signing the surrender of Japan on the USS Missouri, background. JFK assassination, Grassy Knoll. Tiananmen Square, background, standing next to the bus.
So basically, you would just photobomb history.
All of it. All the history.
Would you try to photobomb a painting?
The Reagan assassination attempt? Background. yes. Oh, God. I would try to photobomb the crap out of some paintings.
Mona Lisa!
I mean, can you imagine, like, a portrait of Caesar, and way off in the background, there's a dude wearing a suit from, like, the 2010s?
Or, like, in the painting The Marriage of Arnolfini, you know, at the miniaturist and the minute detail, you know, there's Matt going like, what's up?
It's like, where's Matt, except, you know, instead of where's Waldo? People would start finding him in all these images. Wasn't there a Doctor Who episode that was like this? I think it was the one with Love and Monsters, if I recall, where there was a Doctor Who fan club, and they started finding photos of the various incarnations in historical events.
Yeah.
That would be entertaining as hell. It'd be the world's best scavenger hunt for modern historians. It'd be like, where does it end?
Like all the paintings of scenes from like the Renaissance and the late Middle Ages, where people paint the scenes of like the towns or major events, like the royal courts and everything. Background.
Now, even better, you get your picture, your face woven into a tapestry.
I want to see this.
The ancient murals.
Yep.
Sistine Chapel ceiling. Background.
Oh my gosh! I actually had a really similar idea, except I was going to be responsible for all of the conspiracy theories and unsolved mysteries.
My goal is to, rather than just limit myself to unsolved mysteries, I want to be responsible for all the conspiracy theories. All of them.
You know, like the one about the babushka lady and the JFK assassination? I was like, dude, that's me. They don't know that, but that's actually me.
I'm holding up a little piece of plastic painted to look like the Illuminati symbol in every single one and make sure it's visible to at least one camera.
In one of them, though, you should hold up the symbol that Prince used just to confuse everybody.
And... What? It was the 80s!
In the background of the Reagan assassination tent, you have the symbol for Prince.
No, it'd have to be something like before Prince was born, like a photo from World War I or something.
Kaiser Wilhelm. Oh wait.
Oh good lord.
Photo of Kaiser Wilhelm in the background holding a plastic disc with the Prince symbol.
The Kaiser formerly known as Wilhelm.
I am a wildly irresponsible person when given power. I think this is what we've established tonight.
So Colleen, you would tell us more about yours.
Scenarios. And I thought, like, if I went to the past, this is basically what I would do as well. I would, like, set up everything so that all the conspiracy theories that exist today are because of me. But I, like, for example, what I really want to do is, like, totally mess around with archaeologists. So I would take, like, stuff from the future or modern day and then go back in the past and bury it in the ground. So then when they uncover it 2,000 years later, they're going, wait, this isn't possible.
Like something mundane, like a plastic paperclip.
Take a metal box, like something like super heat resistant, put an iPhone 6 in the thing, and put it under someone's bed an hour before Pompeii.
Oh, good lord.
Did that blow your mind?
No, it needs to be like the iPhone that comes like when you haven't opened it yet, because you know how Apple and their packaging is like perfect.
It's still in the box.
It has the preloaded U2 album on it.
It's still... Look, it's some kind of device. Oh god, it's got Chinese Democracy on it. Burn it.
Even better, with the song that's set to play when they first, you know, like, get it to work, assuming they can get it to work, is It's the End of the World as We Know It.
Yes. Colleen, you just became my hero.
Hashtag Pompeii iPhone. It's our first hashtag of the night.
Pompeii phone.
There you go. Pompeii phone.
Hashtag Pompeii. That was a good one, Matt. But and I was thinking this because there are, you know, so like technologies or things that have been found by archaeologists that don't seem to mesh with, you know, the known technology at that time. So I was like, time travelers messing with you. That's what it is. And that's what I would do if I went to the past. Now, honestly, if I really had a time machine or DeLorean for a single day, screw the past. I know what the past is. I'm going to the future. I want to know, do we ever get real hoverboards? Do we ever make contact with aliens? Oh, my God. Do we ever get to, like, travel to other galaxies like they do in Star Wars and Star Trek? Because, God, I am going to space one way or another. And in this lifetime, I'm probably not going to be able to afford it. But I swear, if I had a time machine and we could get to space, my ass is going to be on that ship.
Hashtag get your ass to Mars.
You're full of them tonight, Matt. Well done.
Well, you can thank Buzz Aldrin for that one. He's one of the major faces of the Get Your Ass to Mars campaign, which As a reminder from our prior episode, sponsored by NASA, we really need to fund NASA if we want to get our asses to Mars.
Absolutely. With something, maybe something you can do is go back in time and alter the course of the NASA program to get us to Mars already. Maybe.
Yeah, well, actually, go.
Say go back and, you know, warn the American people against the formation of political parties, but someone beat me to it. Some Washington guy, I don't know.
You mean our Captain America, or at least Colleen's part of him that left from last week?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, quite honestly, if I went to the future, this is what I would do, okay? Because it would make me so happy. I would go to the future, and I would take a leaf out of Marty McFly's book, and I'd find out about the economy and all the companies that did well and all that kind of stuff. I'd take detailed notes, come back to the present, invest appropriately, make a shit ton of money, so that way I can then go to space.
See, I think I would do things a bit differently, like being completely realistic and not trying to play pranks on people. It's an extremely greedy thing to do, but I would do it. I would figure out stock prices over time, like going back to the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go back, I would buy a bunch of the initial nickel stocks in Ford, because they were printed on little paper slips in the 20s when Ford first went public. Fill like 10 coffee cans just full of nickel Ford stocks, because Ford stock's worth like a few hundred dollars a piece now. So set that aside. Go back to the time of Da Vinci, and right after he finishes painting the Mona Lisa, as soon as he walks out of the room, it's gone. Sorry. It's gone the day after he paints it, if not same day.
Well, hold on. Are you assuming that your actions are not going to impact your current present? Because if you were to steal the Mona Lisa before it became famous, having it would mean nothing. Because then if it didn't become famous, then it has no value.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Bring it to the present, get it authenticated, and then suddenly you've quote-unquote discovered the greatest work of Leonardo da Vinci in your attic.
Or it would be
because nobody's going to believe you went back to when da Vinci was alive and stole it out of his house.
Or what would happen is it would be compared to whatever surviving piece then became his greatest work, because Mona Lisa was around.
Right. And then, the comparison.
It would have more value, I don't know. Now, it would still be an incredible find, just like, you know, people discovering art today is, too.
Right.
See, those are those things about time travel. You're like, if it does or does not impact what has already occurred, that's the key.
Of course, there's something to mention in here with a lot of this. I feel like your success going backwards in time is directly proportional to how much you care about ethics and scruples.
Those words before, but we're not quite sure what they mean.
No, like, for example, with Da Vinci, you could do what you said. You could. Or you could go to him with a modern Uzi and say, if you don't let me sell these and make all the profit and keep doing these for no cost, I'm going to kill you and your family. You could.
Yeah, but then he wouldn't know. Then you'd have to explain Uzis to Leonardo da Vinci.
Well,
and that's not
a
conversation I'm ready to have.
No, I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't do it. But you could theoretically see a case for doing something like that. Of course, this assumes that you can take technology to the past with you, which is not always a given. Who knows? One can assume
like
you can.
Yeah, kind of like the Terminator. They could only bring themselves, not even clothes.
Exactly. So I guess it would depend on the nature. Although, if we're going to go off of, you know, theories that I've read about time travel, and I've kind of read a little bit about it. I used to study in physics a little bit. The idea that if we as humans can go back or forward, an object will be able to as well. There's
right.
no... And I mean, the Terminator made for an Arnie nude scene, which I'm sure is fine for a lot of our, you know, a lot of people. But there's no reason why you couldn't take anything with you, assuming that you're already going as well. Unless we were to have some sort of a Star Trek transporter kind of thing, where you're essentially being deconstructed and then reconstructed in a different time, that would be a different scenario. And you don't want to get your own machinery garbled up with your own body. But,
right,
but
using the DeLorean premise...
Yeah.
Using the DeLorean premise, you can clearly bring objects through
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Back to the ethics and scruples point. I mean, that's a question that I think gets to our next big question. If you go to the past, and yes, we've done conspiracy theories and pranks, but thinking for a moment, taking the topic as seriously as one can take something like this, given the opportunity, would you try to change the past? And if so, would you change the past on a micro level, that is to say something that would affect just one or two people, or you yourself or your family or your friends? Or would you try to effect a greater change? The hackneyed response that people always come up with is kill Hitler before the rise of the Third Reich. But there's a lot of other historical fulcrum points. We've had, counterfactual history is one of the biggest selling fields at bookstores because people would love to think about what if. So there are a lot of points.
World War I didn't happen, or if maybe the outcome of the Treaty of Versailles was different and exactly. We treated it differently, then Hitler wouldn't have rose to power to begin with.
Exactly. Or what if Lincoln survives Ford's Theater, or something even further back. What if, the Chinese did come to America before Columbus, some people think, are around the same time period. What if they stay? What if they don't decide to contract their navy and do become, an aggressive empire? How does that change the development of the American nation, with Manifest Destiny? There are so many fulcrum points. So I ask you first, Colleen, would you attempt to change things? And if so, on a micro or macro level?
I think it's interesting to think that the Chinese came to what later became the United States and went, oh, hell no. I think that shows incredible foresight on the part of the Chinese.
We're good. We don't need this.
Came over, took one look. You know what?
I'm good.
It's all yours, guys.
Yeah,
have it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what did we do with it? We turned into one giant Walmart, So, but anyway. Okay. So no, I don't think I would attempt to do anything at all, other than maybe on a micro level. And this is for both of you. I was thinking of both of you as I typed this into my notes. I would go back in all those burned counties. I would stop fires from happening to make sure those records that were destroyed survive, so that people won't bother you anymore.
A little bit of context. We all have archival backgrounds, and where I work, and Matt as well, and Colleen used to work, we have records that are missing because counties had courthouse fires, and a lot of our researchers get quite upset about that, and understandably. So we would definitely try to go back and prevent some of those fires to the best of our ability.
So all that stuff, yay, we have those records now. And also more knowledge. And on that same note, if I was going to change anything big, it's very similar, I would save all this stuff from inside the Library of Alexandria.
So that's a great one. And who knows the repercussions that may incur, because we don't have any idea, really, of what was in their holdings. I mean, we could have had scientific advances that were done by the ancient Egyptians, ancient Greeks, ancient Persians, that could have prevented or at least, ameliorated the Dark Ages, which it lost to time. So that could have been a huge, huge change.
And who's not to say that I would just keep this stuff for myself and they're like, oh, look what I found when I got back. Pull a mat.
Maybe that's what Thomas Edison did. Maybe he invented time travel and went back and just used patents from the Library of Alexandria.
Well, I mean, he took all of his work was off of the back of others. So...
Exactly. That's why I think it might have been possible. He may have stolen a time machine from somebody else and just stolen the ideas from the ancient ones, because why not?
The only reason I don't think he had a time machine is because, knowing him, if he had that technology, the first thing he would have done is copyrighted and patented the hell out of it. And then he would have, taken to court and bashed the skulls in of anybody who tried to copy his technology.
Or he would have rejected it because it required alternating current.
Yeah.
So, Matt,
yes.
Would you make a major change to the past or leave it alone?
As you said earlier, a lot of people say, oh, I'd kill Hitler, but I would not change major historical events. And the reason I would not, and I realize it may sound horrible to say, oh, no, I would allow the rise of the Third Reich to happen and all the horrible things that came with it. But the thing is, without that event, without, as Josh put it, the historical fulcrum that is World War II, we would not have had the Cold War, which created the space race. Our technology and our society advanced so far, so fast, because we were trying to outperform the Soviet Union for those decades. I genuinely do not believe we would even have cell phones yet at all. Not even smartphones, cellular phones. I do not think there would be telephones that do not use wires or base stations currently in 2016 if it were not for the Cold War, which was predicated on the relational issues between nations following World War II.
And World War II only happened because of World War I.
Yeah.
Right.
I've thought a lot about this question, too.
Yeah, the Treaty of Versailles, refusing to join the League of Nations, looking at you.
And in World War I only happened because Europe was just totally messed up with all of its treaties. Thanks, mm-hmm. Europe.
Thanks, Europe. Hashtag.
But actually, since we have the cell phone and the smartphone today, the answer to that is, thanks, Europe!
Yeah.
Right.
It's funny how those things, history is just one long, unbroken story. Much like professional wrestling. No,
And they make about as much sense as each other, too.
Exactly.
If you really look at human history, it makes no form of sense whatsoever.
If I remember correctly, Game of Thrones, initially, George R.R. Martin, I mean, he did still base a lot of the political intrigues and violent acts off of real historical events in medieval times, but didn't his editors tell him to tone down some of it because it wasn't believable, even though it was based on the historical record? I remember seeing that somewhere, so it's the kind of thing people don't believe the brutality, and we'll get into that in just a second with some of the things you'll run into difficulties with going to the past.
I was going to say really quickly, the only thing stranger than fiction is reality.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, but as far as would I change anything in the past, I've thought about this question too, and I think I've come to the same conclusion that you guys have. Changing something major, who knows what the consequences would be if something did change on a massive scale.
Josh, if you change things that we would currently have real hoverboards and flying cars, I'm okay with that.
I'd be fine with that. But like, you know, for example, if I went back to manipulate a presidential election or something even bigger, if I went back and the example I keep coming to in my head is, I believe in one of the World's Fairs in 1910 or something around there, an inventor actually proposed an electric car or something akin to an electric car. And it was, you know, thoroughly impressive. People were, you know, gave him applause, but it was considered more of a gimmick than an actual innovation. I believe this story was featured on the Cosmos, Neil deGrasse Tyson's documentary. If he would have been taken seriously by the industries of transportation, the railroad companies, which could have invested in him, we could have had electric transportation 80 years earlier, which may in part have helped to perhaps get us off fossil fuels, which could have actually helped prevent the climate change crisis we're in now. So a kind of event like that, I may be tempted to try, but something along the line of a war? No. But on the same token, changing the electric car, a lot of the innovation that we had in the 20th century was due to oil expansion, and that allowed for the most rapid industrialization in human history. And would that still be possible if we get off of oil so much sooner? I don't know.
Or maybe it just would have been bigger. I mean, I know all the steampunk fans out there would totally love that outcome.
Yeah, I have no idea, but it's an interesting hypothetical to consider. But I think overall, I would be really leery about affecting the timeline on a major scale. And I know what people are thinking is something tragic. There's so many tragic events. Couldn't you prevent just one? And the human part of me says yes. You know, whenever innocents die, it's a tragedy. And there's been so many through human history. Like Matt, like you both said, you know, it's just an unintelligible the amount of violence that we have incurred as a species. Yet we just do not know the consequences of letting things change. And sometimes, I would say oftentimes, tragedies are the impetus for progress. And without those tragedies, nothing would change.
I think the biggest ethical dilemma with the concept of deciding to go into the past and prevent one major tragedy, how do you decide whose lives you're saving? How do you weigh those individuals? Do you save the 20 or 30 some children killed in that shooting at the elementary school a few years back? Do you save the and people like to focus only on the 6 million Jews that were killed in the Holocaust, but a lot more people in other groups were killed, such as the Roma and homosexuals and anyone who is considered enemies of the Reich. Do you save those individuals?
9 million died in World War I.
Right.
Exactly.
Do you try to prevent World War II altogether and save the estimated 30 to 50 million Russians who died in that war. I'm sorry, you know it's a massive loss of life when the margin of error in most academic estimates is 20 million dead human beings.
Yeah, and my great uncle was actually killed in World War II, so it's a good question. But I have a question for you guys, though. If you had to change at least one historical event, what would it be?
It might be the electric car thing, maybe, because there's an interesting reverb for that. Although, there are a lot of things that I have considered. Funnily enough, with my recommendation, I've thought about the Kennedy assassination. Would it change the course of American history? But like I said, I just don't know enough about the consequences. I think I'd have to find an event where changing it would likely not result in major changes on a macro level, but would save somebody's life or make it infinitely better. For example, if there was a case where, you know, a child was murdered or something like that, but from a relatively unknown neighborhood. I mean, you never know if the child's going to be a superstar or something like that, or a political figure. But it's relatively safe in the knowledge you're saving one person and you're saving that life is something that I would consider.
Like there's the Lindbergh baby.
Maybe, you know, but the difficulty is even in a situation like that, you really have no idea. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but there was an anecdote, I believe on Paul Harvey's radio show, of all things, back in 1992 or 3, where he mentioned that there was a family planning clinic, for lack of a better term, in Europe. And I believe he said that clinic serviced two different mothers over, you know, in different years and was counseling them. And of course, one of the options they could have considered was abortion, and neither one of these mothers considered it. One of the mothers would go on to be the mother of Pablo Picasso, and the other was for Hitler. I don't know if it's true, but I don't really care if it's true in this way. It is instructive of the fact you never know what potential will realize itself. Who knows?
I was just asking what, Matt, if you had to pick at least one historical event, what would you change?
If I had to pick one part of history to change, and I take it you mean it has to actually have a major impact.
Anything, however you want to interpret it.
Okay. If I am forced to do something that would be genuinely impactful on history, for the record, I am not generally one to advocate the taking of a human life. But I would kill the hell out of Thomas Edison as a child. And the reason for that is, I genuinely believe, based on my own research into the history of invention in America in the late 1800s and early 1900s, I genuinely believe if Thomas Edison had been hit by a car and killed when he was 6 years old, our technology would be at least 200 years ahead of where it is now. Because Thomas Edison made it his mission to prevent Nikola Tesla's ideas from advancing. It's why the Wycliffe Observatory was never completed, which, if that had been completed, and wireless electricity free in the early 1900s, you have any idea how fast our technology would have just blown forward? We would have been on Mars in 1950.
Yeah. You got in the mind of Edison and things that have held back people. What if you took the smallpox vaccine back and gave it to the Aztec and the Inca?
Oh, Spain would be a Mayan colony right now.
I was going to say, maybe the Chinese would have decided differently.
Yeah, maybe. I think that was a fulcrum point, and it's like, that would have changed things a hell of a lot if they are not completely decimated.
Yeah, quite literally, it also in the use of that word. Made the decimation of the Native Americans of the present United States a lot more than would have survived.
Absolutely.
Because that was one of the big ways that they were, frankly, there's no other way to say it, ethnically cleansed.
Yeah.
And you wonder why I hate Andrew freaking Jackson.
Hey, I never said he was a good president.
Any opportunity I have to vent my anger about that man, I'll take it.
I simply said he reminded me more of Black Widow than any other president.
We need to point out the obvious as three historians, to some extent. If you're going to the past, you're screwed. And here's the reason. No one will understand a word you are saying. If you go back in time 100 years to, you know, somewhere in the middle of the country, let's pick St. Louis, 1916, they probably will understand most of what you're saying. But not all. You're going to slip up a few times and use words that aren't invented yet, concepts that aren't invented yet, but you can probably get away with it. You'll be the eccentric kook who lives down the street. 1716, New York, you won't be understood. And go even further back, you are just out of luck. And you're maybe thinking that it's the problem with English. Every language there's a problem. Oh, you speak French? Fantastic. Joan of Arc doesn't speak the same French you do. You speak Chinese? Confucius won't understand your Chinese. Nah, not gonna happen.
And it's not even just about the language barrier. I mean, think about, it's like, it's hard enough when you have cultural shock today, going from one country to another, but your customs, everything about you, your mannerisms, the way you think, the way you perceive and see the world, all of you, every action, everything you do is going to scream, this person is weird, this person is a stranger. For most of human history, stranger equals
dead.
Danger equals we must kill it.
You are
a witch.
It's a witch.
Exactly. Like in that movie Timeline. Okay, so they would die so hard and so fast. I mean, it's, I mean, like, you've got like the French dude who's like, oh, I'm going to go back into medieval France. I can translate. I mean, like, okay, really? Because no, you can't, because it's a different language. Not to mention the English have invaded and they're going to kill you, which is actually what happened. They killed him because he was French. The woman, who cares about her? She's a woman. Nobody. She doesn't have an identity. Bye-bye.
No.
Then you got the Scottish guy. I mean, who else have the English been fighting their entire lives? Oh, yeah, that's right. It would be the Scots. So he's dead. And then you have Mr. American ranting in a version of English that doesn't exist, in an accent that doesn't exist. Yeah, he's dead, too.
They're all dead.
It was shot from the very beginning.
As a brief aside, I should point out that Timeline is probably the basis for one of my podcasting idols, Richard Smith, Movies You Should See on Simply Syndicated. One of their callback phrases all the time was prepare the night arrows, because if you don't know this film, they are shooting arrows that are lit with fire, and at one point the general says prepare the night arrows in an ominous tone, which simply means the arrow's not lit on fire. So the night arrows are freaking arrows. And that became the joke on that podcast, and I'll never forget that. So Richard Smith, if you're listening, or other Simply Syndicated listeners, I am with you on that. But yes, Timeline has proven instructive for the first time in the history of that film.
In fairness to the quote, prepare the night arrows sounds a hell of a lot cooler then prepare the not burning pointed sticks.
Hashtag not burning pointed sticks.
We're gonna have so many hashtags today.
So that's the past. Since we're getting a little bit short on time, let's turn our fulcrum for a few minutes to the future.
Be quick, I just wanted to say, if I had to choose an historical event or something to change, I would save the dinosaurs.
Nice.
So you're just gonna like barehand catch that meteor?
Yeah. How would you do it?
Asteroid. Sorry.
You know what? I figure that, you know, you can get some online funding, you can GoFundMe page set up, and I can work with that.
Would you
GoFundMe, save dinosaurs.
You know, there's a giant ark in Kentucky that's not being used for anything useful right now. You might as well take that. No offense if you were involved in the construction of that ark. We were just using it for a joke.
It would be hilarious if it was actually destroyed in the flood.
It actually has already flooded.
That makes me warm and fuzzy on the inside.
Oh, Titanic, cough. Okay.
And this is why we don't say things like unsinkable.
Oh, come on. They were just joshing around, you know?
Thank
and
you.
When they said unsinkable, you didn't see the air quotes around it.
They had their fingers crossed. It didn't count. Just like with Dewey defeats Truman, it was just trolling, y'all.
I mean, hello, LOL, fool you, right? Okay.
JK.
Dewey defeats Truman. Ashton Kutcher's in the background.
I thought you were in the background.
No, I'm in the background holding Ashton Kutcher at gunpoint. How did they even... Look, we stopped asking questions with this guy like 100 years ago, okay?
Dude, where's my president?
Actually, that happened to Australia. They lost a prime minister once.
Wasn't that the one who went to the beach and just was never seen again?
Well, no, he usually went swimming, you know, he would go swimming on his own, and he went swimming and he didn't come back. So obviously he drowned somehow. Or was eaten by a shark, or a rabbit, or a million things in Australia.
Or a sea kangaroo.
Yeah, a sea kangaroo, probably.
My money's on the box jellyfish sting. That's my guess.
I don't know. The image of a kangaroo hiding underwater with a knife wearing a rebreather is pretty hilarious.
It is Australia, so anything's possible.
Everything will murder you.
Everything.
Yes.
Even the knives, places carry knives that will murder you, the future. Because in my head with the future... there's two possibilities. Let's say you're going to 3016. Either we've really gotten pretty good as a species, and we're in Jetsons-like good places, maybe with aliens, who knows. Or we're in Fallout, and we're in just pure dystopia because of a lack of resources. Humans are emaciated, and we are screwed.
Okay, if that ever happens, then I'm going to get back in my time machine, and I'm going to hit forward, fast forward until I find a future that I like.
Yeah, so I feel
for
like
the record, I've met humans, and my money is on death claws.
Yeah.
Somehow admit that you were an alien.
Well, my theory is actually with Fallout Elder Scrolls, briefly, I think that Elder Scrolls actually occurs after Fallout, and Fallout is what we keep having these horrible things causing leading up to the rebuilding of society. It's just my personal fan theory. But yeah, I mean, I think you got some problems going to the future. As the optimist in me says, sure, there's going to be better. But the realist in me, the person who studied 20th century history for 20 years, says, hell no, we're screwed.
Oh, by the way, if anybody out there has not seen Idiocracy, just watch it and you understand what Josh is talking about.
Yeah, precisely. That's precisely my point. And with all the things that, you know, it's just so many factors in play. And the thing that I'm thinking the most of is scarcity of resources. And not so much fossil fuels or anything like that. I'm thinking really about water. We're already on the point now where water is starting to become a commodity resource, particularly in Africa and in the Sahara area, of course, but also in Eastern Europe, where a lot of it's still irradiated.
Fiji's an island nation and they export their own water. Question? What?
Exactly. So this might not be an issue for 1,000 years from now. It might be an issue for 50 years from now, where you're actually fighting wars. And I've seen a lot of, you know, futurists say if we have another world war, it will be over water access.
Water world, anybody? Water world.
Yeah. So, yeah, if I'm going to the future, I think you're right. I'm going to have my button on the, or my finger on the button for keep going. Because if you land somewhere you don't like, you're going to have to get out of there in a hurry.
Yeah, I am going until I can find Star Wars. So that's where I'm going. I'm getting on a ship and I'm going light speed and I am finding another planet.
All the way to the end if you have to.
Yes, yes. You know, I mean, come on. Who doesn't want to visit like Coruscant and stuff like that? God, please let that exist somewhere.
So I ask you both this. I want to do some rapid fire. Matt and Colleen, I'll go with Matt first. Is your trip now, of course, assuming you can take your family and friends with you if you'd like, is your trip to the past or future round trip or a one-way ticket?
Well, if I go to the past, it's round trip. It's round trip solo and going to be short. If it's to the future, round trip or one way is going to depend entirely on what I see when I get there.
That's a fair answer. Colleen, what do you think?
I'm just gunning for it. I'm going to go one-way trip to the future and hope I hit on Star Wars.
And you just hope you can find yourself a scruffy-looking nerf herder, huh?
Or maybe a couple hot Jedi.
Well, I'm in the future, but I'm a moisture farmer.
I just want to go to space, and space is in the future. Therefore, I'm heading to the future.
I can just imagine Colleen going like 2,000 years into the future, seeing a hot guy and saying, hey, you look a lot like Ewan McGregor. And he'll just be like, who?
And it turns out Ewan McGregor was his great, 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 .. great grandfather. Just saying.
Okay, you know what? Okay. I would take, like, what is in the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure when Billy the Kid and Socrates are trying to hit on those two women and they pull out, like, the wanted sign. They go, hey, look, we're from history. That'd be, like, my pickup line.
See, that's how you become a scientific test subject.
Well, I mean, look, either way, you're a freak if you're in the past, but you're dead a lot quicker. And you're a freak in the future, but you might be able to make some money out of it. So
unless they dissect you.
Yeah.
Now we can study human anatomy from 10,000 years ago. Cut her open, guys.
We're nearly at the hour. I don't think we're going to get to our question of which historical figures we'd most want to talk to. We can get that on another show because I think there's a lot to mine there of what we would want to ask some people. With Edison, we might want to do less asking and more punching. I posed this question to some friends on Facebook, and I want to briefly give you some answers to show that we do care about feedback on this show, and we will say what you tell us if you send us in an email or a tweet. So
unless
first,
it's particularly lewd.
Hmm?
Unless it's particularly lewd.
Well, yes, we won't use that. We will try to clean it up as much as we can. So I've got a few here. I'll just go through them really quickly. Kyle T., he said he would go back in time, but only to observe. As an ancient historian, he's found many questions that are unanswerable, with sources that have survived, as well as some long-term trends that were probably invisible to ancient writers anyway. For example, we know much about the deeds of Alexander the Great, but the accounts, written for the most part hundreds of years after his death, give accounts of his personality that range from beneficent demigod to crazed drunken butcher. Being able to discreetly observe him could answer that question. Of course, that would risk him discovering the secret of time travel and conquering all of the world for all time, but that's a risk I'd be willing to take. Any thoughts on that, guys?
I have to say, I'll put it this way. If I really had access to time travel technology, I'd patent it. I'd patent that technology, patent the hell out of it, and make a shit ton of money. But then I would, but to the extent like where I'd be able to control it, you know what I mean? So only I would have the secret of the technology. Others can use it, but they can't replicate it. So I would make a lot of money, and then I would rule the world.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That whole idea, you know, about using time travel to gain a clear perception of humanity, you know, to know where we've been, where we're going, the pitfalls, the possibilities, the perils and the promise. Yeah, no, money.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. Donnie A. said, with some reservation, I'd go to the future. The sense of wonder would be second to none. From a historical perspective, the advances in technology we have today would be inconceivable to those 200, 100, and even 50 years ago. They'd be awestruck and even panicked at our capabilities. I'd like to experience that for myself. That said, returning to present day would either make me yearn for a time that I'll never see, or dread a present which seems so archaic in context. This is all, of course, in the assumption that the future is bright. It's equally as plausible that I'd end up on the beaches of Manhattan, yelling at the maniacs who blew it all up while my ape overlords look on. Yeah, I think that's a really, we talked about the future a little bit. I think that's absolutely right. It could be great, but it might not be. Helen P. says she would go to the past to solve unsolved mysteries like the one she used to watch, like on the Unsolved Mysteries show. So maybe something like what we talked about earlier with changing the past on a small level. Gary P. said he would go to the future to find a cure for cancer and bring it back to the present day, which is, a very noble goal. Matthew B., not related to our Matt at all, said he would go back and save Harambe the gorilla. So, you know, some people have more recent goals, but I appreciate it. My mom chimed in. She's a loyal fan. She said it's a tough one. She thought about going to the past to say, stop events like 9/11, for example, but she would choose to see how my life and my sister's life would turn out. Interesting. A family coming first, like we talked about, is a possibility. And finally, Steve O. said that with all the other great responses, he just wants to know what people will be eating years from now.
Priorities.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you to everyone who answered the call for thoughts. They are varied. I was really interested that everyone had a really different take on what they would do. I think this question gets at really who we are as people, what our priorities are, what we want to do. Really, the sky's the limit, to use an idiom, if you have time travel. You can be the benevolent person that helps humanity, or you could be the demigod who rules it with an iron fist. It's really up to you. Because with time travel, you can certainly do that.
You know, it is amazing how often Loki comes up in our podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it really that surprising with you on the panel? I mean, really?
Yeah, there you go. There's the common denominator.
Yeah. So I should say, you know, I really haven't said exactly where I'd go. I'm pretty sure, given that I'm really hesitant to change anything, I would go all the way back to the Big Bang and even further back if at all possible. Because I have always wondered what happened. What was the trigger for the Big Bang, if there was one? Was there another universe before ours? And I'm not a particularly religious, spiritual person, but to know exactly what caused the creation of the universe itself, and also if I could find it, the moment that the first proteins formed together to create life. I mean, it's going to be hard to track down. Seeing that trigger would be fantastic. And similarly, for answering some of those big questions, I would actually try to go explore some of the moments that helped found major world religions. The resurrection of Christ, the Exodus, the the beginnings of the Buddha and witnessed it myself and record it using my abilities as a historian, maybe even take some video evidence. And I know that people are saying, you know, you have to have faith and you have to, and I understand that, but I'm a rationalist and a humanist. And I've always thought that you would want to document these events, especially considering the magnitude of them in human history. I would argue for a lot of the 20th century, religion was probably one of the most divisive, but also strong and inspiring forces in human history. And to know their origins and to be able to say definitively, you know, here's the stories, you know, here's the historical record, would change humanity a lot. I don't know if it would change it for the better, but it would certainly change things. But that's my two cents.
And you've got all these big, lofty, do these great things, and all I want to do is give William Henry Harrison a damn umbrella.
Yours is more attainable.
Yeah, me, one word, space.
If I were going to the future, I'd go to space too. I mean, if I could live in the Federation of Planets, I would do it in a heartbeat. I mean, I have my uniform waiting for me in the closet. I just got to get there.
Exactly. I mean, after all, space is the final frontier.
These are the voyages of this podcast, BNQ. Oh my goodness, we just stumbled upon our new intro. But we'll work on that for a later episode.
I think there might be some copyrights in our way.
There might be. Captain Copyright is in the way. So do you guys have any thoughts to wrap up our sojourn into what you do with the DeLorean for a day?
I think there's only really one thing left to do.
We have to kill Jar Jar Binks.
That's right. But you did ask one last thing that we do with the DeLorean. So tonight, Jar Jar Binks was hit by a DeLorean DMC-12 at 87 miles an hour.
Man, Marty's going to be pissed.
Well, where we're going, we don't need Gungans.
Well, at least he doesn't have to worry about the paint. They were all manufactured in stainless steel. So
just pour a little Coca-Cola on it. Gungan comes right off.
Excuse me.
Apply directly to the Gungan. Apply directly to the Gungan.
What was that coffee?
I said it's Pepsi here, not Coke.
True.
There's your first problem.
I only mentioned Coca-Cola because I saw the MythBusters actually clean blood off of a car using Coca-Cola.
Well, this is the Back to the Future DeLorean, and they have Pepsi.
You have the right one, baby. Uh-huh.
Fun factoid. In certain parts of Asia, because of how much sugar is in Coca-Cola, it's actually popularly used as a meat marinade.
I've done that, except with Pepsi. Pepsi pot roast, everybody. By the way, it's amazing. Look up the recipe. Try it. I love it.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, pair Pepsi pot roast with your Magneto screwdrivers. We're still taking recipes. And we will see you again on B&Q. In the future. So for Colleen.
Sayonara. Yes. I don't know. Bye.
And for Matt.
Jar Jar's must die.
This is Josh, and we will see you in the year 3000. B&Q out.